We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
I'm just going to share a little bit of my testimony with you right now. But first, I just had another quick story that which I got before. Pastor Jeremiah asked if, you know, Jesus had ever, you know, called me Satan. No, praise God. That has not happened. Wonderful. Wonderful. But this one time in Washington, D.C., you might know the story, Pastor Jeremiah, but I might have told this to you. One time in Washington, D.C., we were out as a church. We were soul winning. We were leading people to Jesus. I was with a friend of mine called Michael Fico. We were outside of a museum, and I saw this large family of people. They were walking away. Now, they were about 10, 15 feet away from me, but I just yelled. I was like, hey, has anyone ever told you that God loves you, has a great plan for your life? Most of them just kept walking, but one lady stopped and turned. Now she's like 20 feet away from me, and there is a huge crowd of people around us. We're in front of a museum, Washington, D.C. If you've ever been to D.C., it's just a mess of people. They're everywhere. The lady turns to me and says, well, she doesn't say, she yells, I'm from the so-and-so, so-and-so church where God is love, you blonde-haired, blue-eyed devil. I turned to my friend Michael. I looked at him and said, did you hear that? She noticed I had blue eyes. It's wonderful. She was far away. I was impressed. Praise God. The book of Revelation, chapter 12, and verse 11. You'll all be very familiar with this scripture. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. I'm going to read this to you in the Amplified version right now. And they overcame, conquered him by the means of the blood of the Lamb and the utterance of their testimony. For they did not love and cling to life even when faced with death. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in your testimony. But I'm telling you, if you want a powerful testimony, then you have to live a life in which you do not cling to your life. It said, for they loved not their lives unto the death. So many Christians have a testimony, but unfortunately there is not much power behind it, because a lot of Christians have a testimony of how they have been beaten. A lot of Christians have a testimony of how they have lived a quiet and unassuming life. And Pastor Jeremiah has been talking all this morning about how you are not to live that life, but by the power of the Holy Ghost, you are going to live a life of boldness, and you're going to be loud. Amen? I'm not just talking about you have to go around yelling. I'm talking about you're going to live a loud life. When people see your life, they're going to take notice. Amen? And people can't argue with fruit. I love what Pastor Jeremiah was talking about, but people might think you're crazy. People might think, oh, this Holy Ghost, what's that? You know what? The second the Holy Ghost comes in your life, the fruit begins to appear. And that's one thing people cannot argue with. If you show them the change in a life, they can't say anything. Amen? Not even your family, praise God. Although they'll try. Hallelujah. My testimony, I'm just going to share for a couple of minutes. It's a bit of a different testimony. It's not the testimony. I haven't been to prison. I didn't do drugs for 10 years. I wasn't a drug dealer like Pastor Julia. I'm kidding, Pastor Julia. She was not a drug dealer. I was not that guy where it was like I was in biker uniform and I used to go around beating up people. That wasn't me. I have a slightly different testimony, but I think a lot of people will relate to it. I was raised in a household that was half Christian and half not. My mother was a believer, my father was not. So I had a wonderful divided house growing up. I was in church on Sunday with my mother. Then during the week, I was at school cursing like a sailor. My dad was buying me all kinds of bad magazines and, you know, letting me watch any movie I wanted. I'm like an 8-year-old child watching Pulp Fiction and such things. So I was kind of a contradiction. Very holy in church. Not quite so outside. Not quite so outside. I was given the choice. I always loved God. I had him in my heart. I talked to him. And I was raised with God for a long time, even though I wasn't living the proper life. Then it came to a point in my teenage years where I decided it was time to step away from God for a little while. Not to leave him completely, but just to figure things out myself. I was still going to love Jesus. I was still going to talk to God. But quite frankly, I wasn't sure about this whole Bible thing being the whole truth. And I wasn't sure if I even knew the whole truth. I was very much into philosophy at the time, so I was always just trying to find the coolest new saying. You know, find out some cool guy so you can say, well, Lao Tzu said this. Or, you know, somebody else said this. It's pretty pretentious, I know. So I went away for a while. This was during my college years. This was during my university years. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I never had a time of my life where I was more miserable. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. Before you know God, it's kind of like you're in darkness. But have you ever been in a dark room at night, like your bedroom at night, and it's been dark for hours, and you can look around and you can see stuff? Like, it's all dark, but you can make out stuff. You could get up and walk through the room without, you know, breaking your feet or something if you had to. You can kind of see everything, even though it's dark. But then you flick the light on. And that's what happens when Jesus comes in. The light comes on and you can see everything. That's like the same thing. It greater happens when the Holy Ghost comes. Because the light comes on greater and all the cockroaches scatter. During this week, they talked about the purifying fire. All the impurities rise. Well, when you flick the light on, everything that's been hiding is immediately exposed and it goes running for the hills. I don't know why you have hills in your bedroom, but they're there. But then what happens if you then turn that light off again? Pitch darkness. And that's what it was like for me during those little years. I was trying to figure things out myself, but I had turned off the light which had been showing me everything, which I'd been seeing by. So I was a messed up young man. You know, I had a smile. I never lost a smile, but it wasn't really real. I was depressed. I had terrible thoughts. I was in university. Like I said, I never even drank. I never smoked. I never did drugs. But I started hanging around with all the people that did. My best friend had been raised with me in church, too. He came to university a year after me. And he went the complete opposite way. Drugs, drink, women. And it was just a complete time where I was lost. And I knew it, though I didn't want to admit it. But every day it was worse and worse. And all I can say is thank God for my sainted mother. She prayed for me every day. She would send me a text message every day with a scripture reference. She wouldn't send me the scripture. She would just be like, Ephesians 5:14. So I'd be like, oh, okay. I'd have to pick up my Bible, open it up, and look at the scripture. She kept me in the Word for a year that way. And things just got crazier and crazier. Best friend moved in. I would spend all my time at his apartment. The people in my life were terrible. Even a witch moved in with him. And things got really weird. I'm not going to go into those kind of stories or anything, but I'm just going to say, things can get weird when witches move in. I should go into that. Oh, my goodness. All I'm going to say is I was slowly being brought back to God. I was slowly being drawn back to the light. You have no idea how many times I would leave my friend's apartment at around 3 or 4 a.m. because that's kind of the routine we had. I kind of stopped going to the classes for a while because the classes weren't really teaching me anything. So I'd, you know, be at my friend's all night till, you know, 4 or 5 a.m., go home, sleep till about noon, get up, rinse, repeat. Get up, rinse, repeat. And the amount of times I would call my mum at like 3 or 4 in the morning because something crazy had happened or something weird had happened and she'd pray with me. Everything was falling apart, but I realized now I looked back and could see that I was slowly being drawn back. It wasn't God breaking everything apart. It was me living absent from God that was making everything fall apart. It was me being outside God's love and covering. I'm glad everything was crumbling because it was making me finally see everything as I needed to. And then the second year of university ended, and my friends and I decided to do something. Well, what do you do when you've been barely studying for 6 months? Well, you go on vacation, of course, right? You need a break from all that break. We decided to go to Cyprus for 5 weeks because we earned a vacation. So we go to Cyprus, Paphos, the place where Paul went to preach. It wasn't very biblical us going there, but Paul went and preached. And my friends lived that wild life, and I couldn't stand it. They were drinking, partying. We got kicked out of our first apartment we were staying at there because they trashed the place. One night they threw fish into the pool. Dead fish. They weren't alive, but we had all these fish and they started throwing them in the pool. The next morning we were kicked out of a place. To our shock. I was sleeping on the couch. I woke up and the door was just open. And it's like, wait, the door's open? Oh my goodness, I don't even know what's going on in my life right now. And the manager was there and saying, you guys need to go. So we had to go find a new place to stay in a foreign country in a couple of hours. So we get to the next place, and things just get worse. My best friend had brought his girlfriend with him, and they broke up about 2 weeks into the trip. That's not a good thing, by the way. That's not a good thing. And then one night, my best friend, in a drunken fit, tried to commit suicide. I was talking with him. We got locked out of our apartment. Turns out one of our friends had the key in his pocket, but he was so drunk he didn't know. But for hours, we were sat on the steps trying to get our way into this apartment. My friend's telling me all of his sad stories. This is the same friend that we had been raised together in church. This is the same friend that we had gone to churches and conferences, and we had experienced the power of God. He's telling me his sad stories. He jumps up to his feet and tries to throw himself over the railing of the stairs. I had to grab him and hold him down. Now, when that kind of thing starts to happen, you start to question a lot. And I was just done with it all. I was like, you know what, Lord? Enough. And I remember the moment that I made the decision. I was sat on a beach with my friends a day or two later. They're all just, again, carrying on. It was like this beach, and they're just looking at all the women and kind of, you know, being riotous and stuff. And I'm just sat there like, no, I'm done. I am going to live for God again. So I said that. I said, God, I am ready to live for you again. I said, I'm done with this whole figuring things out myself. I'm done trying to work this out. I'm done trying to look for the truth. I'm going to live for you again. It's amazing how God hears us, amen? Because God hears you. God hears your cries. God hears you. He has not left you. He has not abandoned you. The deep things in your heart which you have been crying out for, he knows them, and he will bring out those deep desires to pass, amen? He heard me that day. A couple of days later, my mother calls me. That sainted lady I told you about. And she says, hey, when you get back from Cyprus, would you like to come to Tampa, Florida with me? She was like, we're going to go for like 2.5 weeks. Free vacation. Would you like to come? I don't think you have to guess my answer. Free vacation, Tampa, Florida, 2 weeks? I'm there. And then she said, by the way, the first week we will be in a church conference. Second week, villa. First week, church conference. And I'm thinking, well, perfect. I just gave my life. I just said to the Lord, I'm ready to live for him again. So good, cool, let's do this. So I go there. A little church you've probably never heard of. The River. The River in Tampa Bay. Dr. Ronnie Howard Brown. It's where Pastor Jeremiah and I met. It's where the wonderful Brian and Mariah Cry met them. Pastor Julia. They all went there. We all got drawn there at the same time. Praise God. Now, I had experienced the power of God as a child, as a teenager. I used to, every time there was a church conference in England where I could go get the power of God, I was there. Because all around where the churches was just religion. The churches were dead. But anytime there was like a big national conference, it was every August on the Peterborough Showground. It was called Faith Camp. We used to just be excited for that one time of the year. Because, man, God was there. It wasn't just the talk. God was moving. And, I mean, I experienced the power of God as a child. I could never explain it all to you. I didn't even know the biblical things behind it back then. But joy, healing, repentance, all of these things were taking place there. So I was raised part of the time in that. But then I would try and, you know, then I would try and live my life with outside of the church after that. It's like, well, you know, I love the power of God, but all around me is religion, so I'm just going to try and do it without church. I'd always make it 1 month, 2 months, maybe even 3 months before I backslid again, because you can't do it outside of church. You can't. We've been called together. We're a family. You can't do it apart. We're called the body of Christ. Have you ever... It's going to sound gross. Have you ever seen an organ survive outside of a body? If you took out your kidney right now and just kind of tossed it on the floor, please don't. But if you did, how long would it be useful? Not very long. But so many people try and survive outside of the body, which is the church. And that's what I tried to do. And that's why I kept dying. And that's why I kept dying and having to be lifted up again. And I kept having to repent and come back to the Lord, give my life to him again. And when I came to Tampa, Florida, in that place, It was the power of God. It was the presence of God. And I'm telling you, it was like I had never left it. It's like a river. The river of God. The power of God. And it's like I had used to go swimming in it when I was a kid. I used to, you know when you're a kid and it's summer and you go jump in the river and stuff? It's like I'd been doing that. And I'd come back to that place and I just fell immediately back in. The joy of the Lord hit me. The peace of God hit me. And for 8 days, I was saturated in the power of God. That second morning, I gave my life back to Jesus. I went to the altar. Went to the altar. About the fourth day of the conference, they did an altar call for Bible school. That was not in my plans. I had plans. Despite my wayward ways, I still had plans. I knew what I was going to do. If you asked me what I was going to do with my life, I could have told you. But I also knew I wasn't going to do it without God. I had tried that. We've heard that story. I'm sad to say that right now, that old best friend of mine is still not living for the Lord yet. Despite several encounters with him. But I have hope. But you have to make the choice for God, for all in, that you're going to live with the power and presence of God. And that was the thing that that church said, and it's the thing this church says, that no other church I had ever been to had ever said. You can live in the power and presence of God. You don't have to wait to come back on Sunday to get it again. You can live in it. Amen? Amen? You see, religion wants you to bow like a dog. It does, I'm sorry. Religion wants you to just keep coming back for the fix. Religion is like a drug dealer. They give you a taste and then they say, okay, but if you want this, you have to come to me. If you want this, you need me. But the power of God and the true church says, here is the power and presence of God. It's free. Take it. Run with it. Live with it. Amen? You guys are not a weak and feeble body. You're going to come here every week just running to Pastor Jeremiah saying, oh, this happened again, this happened again. You guys are going to walk and run in power. You're going to come to Pastor Jeremiah every week and say, let me tell you what happened this week, Pastor. Let me tell you what happened this week, Pastor. Amen? So we went to that place, and they gave that altar call, and it made no sense. I had just finished my second year of university. I had 1 year to go to get my degree. So what would wisdom say? Well, okay, if you're going to go to Bible school, wait a year. Finish university, right? That's wisdom, correct? Well, I'm very glad that God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I had an urgency in my spirit. I knew I had to go now. It was like now or never. I knew if I waited, it wasn't going to happen. Because I had to move to a different country. I had to go home and get a visa. I had to go home and do all kinds of things. And I knew if I wait, it's not going to happen. Imagine if I had waited. I wouldn't have met all of these wonderful people. Well, I would have, but I would have been a year behind them, so they would have been like, no, you're a first year. You know.
Amen.
Amen. They would have been like, you're not hanging out with us. We're the cool kids. Luckily, I went when I did, so I was a cool kid. Amen. So I went back to England, and I turned upside down my life. I had just signed a contract to move into a house with all of my best friends. I called a lady and said, I signed a contract, I know, but I got to get out. You got to let me out. She did. She was like, you know what? Just find somebody else to fill it. You're good to go. All of my friends thought I was crazy. They thought I had joined a cult. They thought I had gone cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Or cocoa for Cuckoo Puffs. I don't know. My dad lost it. My family, my mum, of course, was as pleased as anything. But the rest of my family were like, what are you doing? I remember so vividly the conversation with my father when I told him. He picked me up in his car. First time I've seen him in weeks. He picks me up to hang out with me. And he's like, hey, don't you have to move in this weekend to the house? Like, what's the plans? What are we doing? How can I help you? I was like, wouldn't worry about it. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, kind of not moving into that house. His face gets serious. And I kind of say, yeah, kind of moving to America. The silence in that car for 10 seconds could have deafened anyone. And then he unleashed all the words he could think about God. Didn't deter me. I had heard from God. I had heard from God. And I wasn't going to let it go. I knew what years of meandering and wandering had done to me. I knew what years of half-heartedly living for God had done to me. I knew what years of having a testimony but not willing to lay down my life for God had done. Because the Bible tells us, if you try to keep your life, you will lose it. If you try to keep your security, you will lose it. But when you completely trust God and give him your life, you find your true life. Amen? So I did it. I went. No looking back. I thought it was a one-year school. It was a three-year school. So, of course, I stayed there for 4 years. I just had to do a little bit extra. Then I heard the call of God to go preach. Let me tell you something right now. I was never going to be a preacher. You've heard the testimony the last few days of shy people growing up. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and say right now, I'm going to go ahead and bet right now that I was the shyest. I'm just going to put that down. I'm going to lay the gauntlet down. I'm going to call Pastor Ben and say I was shyer than you, and I will fight you if you disagree. Amen? Kidding. I would not talk to anybody. Unless I knew you, unless I was your good friend, I would not say one word. I never talked in front of people. But it's amazing what God does when you let the Holy Ghost in. And to do a work. And to do a work. Power of God's on you right now, man. He's doing something this morning. If you're hungry this morning, the Lord will touch you right where you are. Amen? Amen. Don't wait for Pastor Jeremiah to pray for you. Don't wait for anybody else to pray for you. Let God touch you. Amen? I'm not going to even really go much further here. All I'm going to say is, the last few years have been the wildest ride with God. I would never go back. I would never turn back. I would never do a thing differently. I lost one degree. I got another degree. Doesn't even matter that I got the degree in theology. I was going to preach the gospel anyway at that point. But praise God. I had one friend who was with me all of that time, experienced the same power of God. Had the same experience as me. To some degree, even greater. That guy, I mean, I'm telling you, the call of God in his life is insane. And God has saved his life so many times. Some of you probably have a story of how you should be dead today, or you should be in prison today, or you should be in a mental institution today. I'm always more of the more mental institution side. I would have gone crazy without Jesus. People would argue that I'm a little bit crazy with Jesus, amen? The Bible says if we be in our right minds, it's for you. If we be out of our minds, it's for God. And I like to live my life for God, amen? But my friend had the exact same choice as I did. He went a different way. He went a different way. You all have a choice. You all have a choice. You can live for Jesus with half a heart, and cling on to that life of yours and worry about your security and worry about your future and how can you do this, God, and what are you going to do with this in my life, God? Or you can go all in and say, I am going to live 100% for God. I am going to obey his call. I am going to do what he tells me to do. Amen? I want to end with this story. I was back in England for a couple of years preaching, ministering, traveling around England with a church and all other things. Started a Bible school there. And my grandmother was on her last legs. It's an English way of saying she was near death. She had lived her life as a staunch atheist. Some of you might think, you know some people who are complete atheists. Well, I'm just going to tell you my grandmother right now. You could not bring up God to her. She would start cussing you out. You bring up God or Jesus, she's going to start cussing you out because she doesn't want anything to do with that crud. And she did not use the word crud. But she was beginning to circle the drain. I knew it. I just knew. And I knew I was in England for a reason. She used to be in an apartment and I could never actually talk to her because I would have to go with another family member. And if I started talking about Jesus, I was going to get shut down. You know, that kind of family. Shut up. Don't talk about that. Then she got moved into a nursing home around the corner from my house. And I was like, okay. I had an urgency in my spirit. I've got to go to her. I just knew. I was like, she's waiting. I'm here. I've got to go. I couldn't go one a day because of work. But the next day, it was like, I can't even tell you what it was like, but it was like an alarm clock going off in my spirit. Now, you know when your alarm clock goes off in the morning and it's like, no, seriously, wake up. Stop hitting the snooze. Now. So the next day, immediately after work, I walk straight to the nursing home. went into that room. She couldn't talk at this point. She could barely move. Her mind was there, but it started to slowly go. But there was you couldn't really get a reaction much. And I was like, well, okay. There's nothing I can do in my power. So what did I do? I started praying in the Holy Ghost. I needed that Holy Spirit, amen? Started praying in the Holy Ghost. Prayed for about 20 minutes, just out loud in the Holy Ghost in that room. In her mind, she was probably thinking, what the heck is this kid doing? And then all of a sudden, I had the release in my spirit, pray with her right now. So I went through the gospel with her. Has anyone ever told you God loves you? Grandma, if this was your last moment on earth, do you know where you're going? And I told her, Jesus is waiting for you. I was like, Jesus has been holding you just for this moment. It's time. It's time. So I went through the scriptures with her. And then I said, okay, Grandma, I know you can't talk right now, but I held her hand and said, say this in your heart right now. And I went through the sinner's prayer, if you will. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. And when I finished, I had this release. I just had this release in my spirit. I just felt it lift. And I said to her these words, Grandma, if you said those words right now with me in your heart, then you're ready to go home. Jesus is waiting for you. You can go now. And as I said the words, as they left my mouth, you can go now. Her head dropped. And she left this earth into eternity. She had lived her life as a complete sinner. And in her last 20 seconds, she was snatched out of hell. Amen. I couldn't believe it. You don't believe those things when they happen in front of you. I was sat there and I was like, oh goodness. I turned my head and the window was just there. And the sunset was pouring into the room. And I heard in my spirit, the Lord spoke to me and uttered these words. And it's words that he'd uttered to Pastor Rodney, and I'd heard them in the past. And I heard him say, the sun is fast setting on the horizon of time. There isn't much time left. That's not to make you afraid. I'm trying to excite you. There's not much time left. That means that you have been put here for such a time as this. You have been put in the final minutes of this earth to do something incredible. Amen? Amen. Peter wishes he could have lived in this time. Elijah, Isaiah, they wish they could have seen these days. And I'm telling you right now, there is a choice to make. Everyone has to make it in their life. Not that just they are going to follow Jesus, but they are going to follow him with their whole hearts. They are going to not love their lives unto the death, but they are going to say, even if I give my life for the Lord, I am going to live that life fully. Some people are just going to make it to heaven, and you'll be used to do it. But you have to live a life radically on fire for the Lord. You have to be so willing at the moment's notice when the Lord says, hey, them right now, talk to them right now. And you have so many opportunities. This church is going to teach you how to win souls. This church is going to teach you how to reach people. Amen? So don't worry about, like, I don't know how to do it. They will teach you. So at the moment's notice, the Lord will say, that person, but you cannot give what you do not have. So you have to have a heart radically turned for Jesus. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.